and also to get inspiration as for myself and my own team. Because as you know, no one's perfect, and we're always looking for that extra edge in our deen to make it better for ourselves. Bismillah. Okay, I'll start off. My name is Omar Veritimidis. I'm of Greek descent. Both my parents are Greek. And I was born a Christian, for what you could say I was born a Christian. Yes, but my family was practicing. My mother was practicing to a point. They were practicing, but yes, I walked around with the title as a Christian. Yes, I would profess Christianity. Did I understand it? Some things. Did I understand the basis of it, which was the Trinity? Not at all. It was a complete mystery. Anyway, I'll start off with my childhood. I always liked art. I've always loved art, and I've always liked to draw. I like sketching a lot, and I guess it's just not my luck, but I like to draw people, and I like to draw animals, and when I came to Islam, I can't do that anymore, but alhamdulillah, it's not a big problem, but that was one of my biggest things I love to do. I could stay in my room and just draw all night, all day. I would pick up comics and draw my own characters according to them. And my mom would see this, and my mom being, you know, Christian, she always would tell me, why is there so much hate? Why does everybody you draw have this big, why do they look like they want to kill each other? And I would explain it to her. I mean, I'd go, you know, he has to look tough, you know, he has to beat Spider-Man, he has to beat Wolverine, they all look tough, right? So she wouldn't understand that. So she tried to get me into these drawings, which we call icons in Christianity. Actually, they pray to them, kind of. They think it's like an intercessor, whatnot, between them and God. So she tried to get me drawing those. Yeah, I was interested a little bit. We had a brief conversation where she wanted me to go to some monastery in Boston because I expressed my feelings about drawing these pictures. And she said, if I go there and I become a monk, I can do that and they'll help me out with that. Anyway, that was only a phase. So that was probably the most religious I ever got in my deen. Other than, I really loved the stories of the old people, the saints, how they lived their life, and most of all, how simple their life was. It was so simple. It was only based on necessity. There wasn't these materialistic, worldly gains that we have nowadays. Very nice and very simple. I mean, these things, they've always appealed to me because they have the simple life. And I've always loved it. And that carried on throughout my life. And as well, my brother. As you all may know, my brother right now is actually practicing his simple life. He's in Mauritania and he's studying Islam the traditional way. And he doesn't have a rehab here. He doesn't have all this stuff. And doesn't have, he doesn't have cars. I mean, it's hard to understand, but he fishes for his fish. He has a garden where he grows his vegetables. To get his milk, he milks his goat. You know, and that's simple life. You want it, go get it. You want it, go do it. You don't have to go buy it. He doesn't really have all these luxuries. He could if he wants, but that's the life he chooses. And I understand him in many ways because I also love that life. But alhamdulillah, I don't really have the means right now to pursue that same life. So that's my Christian ways. I can talk to you now about how I came to Islam. It was merely I wasn't looking for it. I found out my little sister accepted Islam. And I wasn't really home in those days. I was out gaining my materialistic things. My gold watches, my nice clothing, expensive clothing. I was out clubbing. I wasn't too much in the clubbing scene, but I liked the after parties and so on. But forget all that, it's not even the point. It's not why I'm here to talk to you. My sister and when she accepted Islam. Well, I I just heard hearsay. And I heard that my sister was out debating about Christianity and Islam. But I wasn't really around. And then when I found out, I got furious. Accepting she joined the new club, but she doesn't know what she is doing. She's also my younger sister as well, so it's kind of a family. But I got really furious, and I wanted to know, where was it that it happened? What was it saying? What was going on? It was in a local area, alhamdulillah. And I ended up going. But as I said, I went and I didn't really have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, then you pretty much don't do anything. You can't really say much, because I didn't believe in the Trinity. And that is that mysterious thing that Christianity is revolved upon. It is the Trinity. And if you don't really understand it, then really what kind of Christian are you? And I would go and I would debate, being arrogant. I mean, if I don't know the Trinity, what am I really debating? But I was going and I was being pretty arrogant, debating other people with Islam and Christianity. And it's the funniest things that really got to me. It's really a lot of funny things. Well, it's not, you can't say it's funny, but most people wouldn't really see those things as being a factor in what changes your life. A lot of the rules, and especially, obviously, the oneness and the uniqueness of Allah in Christianity is just not there. The uniqueness and the oneness of Allah is a big thing. I developed a conscience. I guess I always really had a conscience, even though sometimes I did otherwise, but we're human, you know, but still it's not an excuse. But I had a conscience, and I always thought, from as far as I can remember, that always there is God, Allah, watching me. Whatever I'm doing, He's really watching me. Doesn't matter what I profess, I know that God, Allah, is watching me. Whether it was I was Christian, whether it was I was going out and buying my gold watches, whether it was when I became a Muslim, Allah is watching me, and I knew that. So when I would go into these arguments arrogantly and profess what I really don't even know, you hear the points of others, and it puts like a brick of a burden on your back. It's hard to explain. I'm trying to put in a metaphor. It's like every point they make puts a brick on top of your shoulders. And that's something you have to carry around. If you really think and ponder upon it, that's something you have to carry around and try to justify and rationalize and find out, what is it? Why am I carrying this brick? What's the truth? So it ended up being that I was carrying a whole bunch of bricks. And later, my heart, obviously, it inclined towards Islam for simple things such as wudu, such as praying 5 times a day. Most people that I know, if you can call it, they would say that was prayer, but it's more like a dua, they would say at night. But you know, to each their own, but Islam is Islam and it's the truth, you know. But it's hard to say. I would get these bricks, and I don't know if you people really understand what I'm trying to say, but it became too much. The burden became too heavy. I knew I had to drop the bricks and accept what I was, just being ignorant and not accepting for the sake of ignorance. But I had too many things at stake. I didn't know where to go. My parents would never accept. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know a lot of things about the religion. And I was actually told a lot of false things when I came to Islam. And I ended up accepting, alhamdulillah, I accepted. My brother told me, which is probably the key thing, that actually just told me, just do it, you have nothing to lose. He says, if you get kicked out of your house, I have a place for you to go. So on the spot, I accepted the shahada. I gave away my gold watch, which I just just got about a week before, and went home and I did my ghusl and became a Muslim, alhamdulillah. Now the things that really interested me are the things like wudu. If you really think about it, it was the things like istinja. I mean, really, if I dropped coke on this table here in front of me, and I just merely wiped it off, how clean is it really? But if I emptied my bottle of water after I wiped it, it's much cleaner. I mean, it's just little things, little logical things that really get to you. Anyway, I ended up accepting Islam. And I found out that a lot of people, not just me, when you are asking questions and you're looking for the truth and you're looking for more and more knowledge, a lot of other people don't know. I was told I don't have to have a beard. I don't have to wear a turban. I don't have to look like a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, now I do, but I mean, these are things that I was told. I was also told, if you could believe it, I don't have to pray. This is what I was told. You have to pray when you feel in your heart is right. And I remember my brother-in-law telling me, subhanAllah, I remember, he was telling me, well, it's prayer time. And I told him, well, I don't have the intention to pray for Allah, so go pray. I don't have that intention, so if I'm praying, who am I really praying for, you or Allah? And that's just a big thing. Shaitan really plays on your mind. But that's a lot of ignorance again talking. You find it also in the Muslim world. There's a lot of ignorance. People don't really read, they don't really find out. And when I found out that, and wow, the big difference between us and non-believers is the prayer. And I was telling my brother, you go pray. I don't have the right intention, so I'm not going to pray. I mean, I have to make up those prayers. I accepted my Islam and now I have to make up those prayers. So, the journey for me, as you can see, it came rationally. It didn't become as I got a sign and maybe all the lights in my room, they just went out and on. No, but it just came rationally and I didn't really go looking for it. It came to me. I went opposing it and I ended up under it. So, alhamdulillah. After I accepted Islam, my brother accepted Islam, my sister before us, as you know, and my mother and father, I guess they were thinking Islam was taking over their family. So after my sister, and after me, and after my other brother, and I have a twin sister who's not Muslim, but inshallah she will be a Muslim, they kind of gave up. Parents now, well, my father's okay with everything. We do our thing, he does his thing. But I can still call my father, I can still talk to him. My mother, on the other hand, was a religious one. And it's kind of funny. I mean, if you're the religious one, why would you disown your kids? But yeah, unless I decline my deen, I can accept her. But if I do not decline, I can't accept her as my mother. Alhamdulillah, that's one thing I have to deal with, and I know a lot of other brothers have it worse than I do. But yes, it's a struggle when you accept Islam, because your base is your house. And when your base is your house, you're giving up a lot when you're accepting Islam, because it's not your parents who are accepting it for you. You're making your own educated decision. So, when your base is at risk, you put a lot of things at risk. And then you have to go out and make your own base. You have to be responsible. You are kind of pushed to be more responsible from the beginning. I wasn't really responsible before Islam. Now, alhamdulillah, I have my own apartment. I have a wife. Inshallah, kids will come. Allah knows. But that's just the way my life went. If somebody told me 5 years ago, while I was sitting down in front of my house, even with any of my friends, you are going to be a Muslim, and on this day today, you will be here talking about Islam to other Muslims, I would say, you don't know who I am, and you are crazy. You don't know anything. But But that just goes to show you that you are in control of nothing. Allah is really in control of everything. So, excuse me 1 minute. Just got pasties. So, as I am here today, I hope I have inspired some people to go that little extra in their deen. Because I'm here for that as well, not only to speak, but also to get a push to go that little extra as well. I know a lot of new Muslims, and really, I see, I've met a lot. I met hundreds of new Muslims, and I have one piece of advice for new Muslims. You have to be responsible. You really must be responsible. Because that makes you a man or a woman, not a boy or a girl. You really must be a responsible person. And whether you are married, whether you are not, you have your own duty. I mean, if you're not taking care of yourself, and you're not making decisions to better your life through the deen, or financially, or whatever it may be, you must be more responsible. If you find yourself sitting at home and you're doing nothing all day long, there's something you gotta do, something's missing. I met hundreds of new Muslims, and this is a big problem within the new Muslims. Responsibility is a big thing. Alhamdulillah, I learned my responsibility overseas. I went to Taiwan and I was teaching English for a little while, and I came back and I had a little bit of extra money, and I was also spending my money while I was there towards an apartment to get married. My marriage took 4 years. I was engaged for 4 years. It took a while. But, alhamdulillah, that's just my only piece of advice. I mean, I'm nobody. I have a lot of things to work on as well. I'm not here to offend people. I'm not here to put anybody down. I just see from what I see that responsibility is a big issue amongst Muslims. In order for us to be taken seriously, we really have to be more responsible. We really have to work for what we want. JazakAllahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.